Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We continue reading from the virtues of the Holy Quran and the virtues of certain specific surahs. The virtues of Surah Waqia. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever reads Surah Waqia every night will never starve. Whoever reads Surah Waqia every night will never starve." Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to command his daughters to recite the surah every night. There is a hadith in which it is stated that Surah Waqia is also known as Surah Al-Ghina, that is wealth and contentment. Read it and teach it to your children. It is silly of us to read it only for the sake of worldly wealth. If instead it is read for the happiness of the heart and for the sake of the next world, then worldly wealth will come to us without asking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to read this regularly. We continue with from the book Islamic Social Etiquette and from the etiquettes of speech. Number one, some people do not speak clearly. They speak ambiguously and with formality. They hint while speaking. The listener sometimes does not get the message clearly and sometimes he understands it wrong. This causes a lot of inconvenience. Therefore, speak clearly without ambiguity. Number two, speak from in front of a person, not from behind. Speaking from behind a person is confusing. Number three, when renewing a request to a person, then mention it fully in spite of having been stated before. Do not express yourself incompletely or ambiguously, relying on an earlier explanation. It is possible that the earlier explanation has been partly forgotten, hence the listener may misunderstand the request if it is renewed without clarity. Number four. Some people sitting at the back in a gathering clear their throats or cough in order to attract attention to themselves. If there is a real need to say something, go in front and in an appropriate manner explain. However, this should not be done unnecessarily. It is improper to disturb a person involved in some work. Wait for the person to complete his task, then address him. Number five. When one topic is being discussed, do not commence another. Number six, when asked about something, reply in full, without ambiguity. Do not reply with confusing statements which necessitate repeating questioning. Number seven, if you have to speak privately about a person who happens to be present, do not indicate this to another by means of the sign of the hand or eye. Do not let him realize that you are at all discussing him. This will apply if the discussion regarding him is permissible. If the discussion is not lawful, then discussing him will be sinful. Number eight, futile speech hardens the heart even if the talk is permissible. Futile speech hardens the heart even if the talk is permissible. Number nine, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that one should speak to people what they are able to understand. Do not discuss with them things which are beyond their intellectual capacity. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu added, "Do you wish them to refute Allah and His Messenger?" Some people will not hesitate to reject such deeni narrations which they were unable to comprehend. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when you mention to people such things which are beyond their intellectual capacity, then such talks will most certainly become a cause for the corruption of some people. Number 10, do not adopt the speech styles and slang of those who are ignorant of deen. Number 11, be moderate in speech. Do not expand the discussion so much that people become tired and perplexed, nor abbreviate the talk to such an extent that the aim and the object of the discussion are not understood. Number 12, a female should exercise care when speaking. She should not allow herself to be heard by men unnecessarily. In a like manner, a man should not express himself sentimentally in the presence of females. It is obligatory that a man abstains from reciting poetry and expressing himself melodiously in front of females. That is, such females for whom the Sharia law of hijab applies. Number 13, do not mumble when speaking. Speak clearly and be to the point. Inshallah, we'll continue.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. We were discussing how we can make our rozas a perfect roza, and also how we can use rozas and the month of Ramadan to make our islah for the rest of the year and consequently for our whole lives. So with regard to that, the principle on which all this is based is that roza is basically that we are required to abstain from permissible things. Food is halal for us, but we are asked to abstain from it. Drink is halal for us, water, etc. And the same way, our wives are halal for us, but during the day of roza, they are like haram for us. So we have to abstain from them. So like that, our tongue also, we must use it only in those things which are permissible normally. But roza, we must try and abstain from it. Certain things, then Allah will give us the tawfiq to stay away from haram the rest of the year. And there are so many things which we don't realize we fall into. Backbiting is very, very rife and very, very serious it is, as we are hearing repeatedly. But Allah give us tawfiq that we can understand it and come out of it. Lying is very, very common. About good things also we lie. In jokes we lie. Unnecessarily we lie. Lot of lying. And lying also is a gunai kabira. What the family we lie, what our workers we lie, in the shops we lie, lot of lying takes place. And we don't seem to understand, realize it. So much so that sometimes it happens that you are giving a bayan also and you are lying. That you say that a certain person, then nobody told you, it's your own fault. And you say somebody told me this. You are lying. And it's a gunah. And it's so much multiplied than gunah. When you are giving a bayan and you are lying also, how much more isn't it multiplied? Or lot of people are saying this. One person told you something. Now you want to prove your point. You say lot of people are saying this. It's a lie, open lie. So that also Allah Ta'ala. And then to listen to lies also. Or all the things that we are haram to speak, we mustn't listen to also. And then our eyes, little bit we spoke, as far as roza is concerned. Otherwise, it's a lengthy discussion to protect our eyes, how important it is. Yeah, we don't have to, so to say. But today, things have changed also. Yeah, also in the masjid, in i'tikaf, we have to protect our eyes. Cell phone is with us. And where we're going, which sites, the whole world we are going on to. How many wrong things we are seeing. And today, not only what we hear, but now we are seeing what we have to hear. All the messages that come, which should have been other voice messages, now they are messages that are coming, and we are seeing them. So Allah protect us and make our rozas properly. And for this little while, Allah said, Ayyamun ma'adudat, for a few days. You just try and control these things, and you'll get eternal bliss and joy and happiness. From that also, let us again just reiterate for myself, for all of us, that Islam is that way of life that is full of bliss and enjoyment. But unfortunately, so much of other things are upon us. From the time we grow up in an anti-Islamic environment, so it doesn't come into us. I was just thinking, mashallah, doctor read about Surah Waqia. Now we must tell our children, not tell them. We must read every day and tell them also to read. Then it will come in them. But we don't read, we want them to read. Like, things don't really work like that. With that. We must be reading ourselves, and then we tell them with conviction, see, I'm reading, I've seen what is promised on reading Surah Waqia, what Allah Ta'ala gives. You also read, and your whole life you must read, carry on reading. Allah, make that a reality, Surah Yasin, all what we have heard. So today we talk a little bit about thoughts that come to a person. Thoughts that come to a person. One is a person brings thoughts, and one is a thought comes. There is a great difference between the two. And the mind is practically never empty. There are always thoughts coming from where and where they come, and one thought will put you onto something where it will take you. For example, legally, that is good. You get the thought, I must go for Umrah. Now, how much preparation you make for that again? One thought came, how much you do? Like that, many other thoughts also come. So one is a thought that comes itself, that we are not responsible, no matter how bad that thought is. No matter, we try and explain the various categories of thoughts that come to a person. So that is not harmful. But a thought that a person brings into his mind, intentionally, that is, if it's a wrong thought, we will be taken to task for that. But just thoughts that come on their own, we won't be taken to task. A thought came, a wrong thought. And at the beginning you entertained it, but then you realize, oh, this is what I'm thinking about. This is totally haram. What am I thinking? Now you expel that thought. You take it out. That is fine. But now you keep it. The thought came on its own. You keep it and you build on it. Now the haram and the impermissibility of it starts from there. So that we must realize that there are thoughts that are going to come to us, and thoughts probably at night they translate into dreams. The brain works all the time. Then you start seeing dreams again, all the other types of dreams. You are not responsible for the dreams that you see also. They come on their own. You are not responsible, so much so. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, even if you see that you are burning in the fire of Jahannam, don't pay attention to it. It's just a dream. You don't have to worry about that. Otherwise, what will happen to a person? What buzurgs Allah gave us, and what, how they knew? If we want to know what psychology is and what philosophy is, it's here. Where are we looking for it where it isn't? Our buzurgs, and all from Quran and Hadith. So the thoughts that come, like for example, one type of thought which is common and which many people complain about, fantasizing, thinking about other women. That is a very common thing. And this happens quite commonly when a person is lying down, he wants to sleep. Sometimes it happens your wife is next to you and you're busy fantasizing. So this is very, very bad. It comes in namaz, sometimes these thoughts come. Making tilawat, these terrible thoughts come. So that is what is one type of thought which is quite common, and people suffer from this. And some people don't have the courage to speak about it and get the solution to it. There are solutions for everything. And we should try and also see that we go to the right people. It's not every person has got the solution also. Sometimes you don't have the solution. And then if somebody has asked you, you don't have the solution, you try and ask somebody else. More super, higher than you, what you think, and try and get the solution, and you give it to that person, you will benefit, that person will benefit. So one is that. The other type of thoughts that come, which are also wrong thoughts, are we look down upon people in our mind. That this person is like this person is like that, this person did that. And many times, all these thoughts that come are on hearsay. We heard about this, we didn't verify. And now we're thinking this person is like this. This person said this. This person did this. That's a thought that comes also. Then we get thoughts with regard to our deeni matters. Some people have got big problems with this also. Existence of Allah. Allah save us all. Today that also comes into a person. That does Allah exist? Is there Jannah, Jahannam? Because of the environment. If we had a proper nice Islamic environment, and full of deen, this will never come. But today our children are reading all types of comics, cartoons, they are seeing games they are playing, TV programs they are watching, everywhere, schools what they get, friends what they talk. We will be amazed that small children, young children, what they are talking about. Forget all the other lustful and bad things. But as far as deeni matters are concerned, we don't have to quote again a few things, but what terrible things are being young children. So that brings also doubts into a person. Doubts about, is there life in the qabr? Many people, alhamdulillah, they don't speak about it, but the doubt, and that doubt must be out completely. We must have that convincing iman on what our aqaid are, which alhamdulillah we are doing every day. Allah reward the brothers who have prepared these kitabs, and they are so beneficial. Me, myself, I'm benefiting so much from these kitabs. There are so many, and this is only the introduction of each subject. The whole thing in front is very vast. And this is what we have to give time for. But we haven't got time for that. We got time for our dunya. We got time for everything else. Our sports, we got time. We got time for to take up for our smoking, to read the newspaper, to watch the news. All that we got time. But for our deen, unfortunately, we don't have that time. So that is also one type of terrible thoughts that come to a person. Very, very terrible thoughts. So all this also happens. Then many other thoughts also come. What thoughts come to a person? Permissible things also, impermissible things also come to a person. So in Ramadan, and especially in Ramadan, in our namazes, if we can try and make this effort that all the other thoughts which are in a sense permissible, that they just came, it's something, you are making namaz, now you are busy doing shopping somewhere. It is not haram, but it doesn't blend in with namaz. Namaz is something else. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful thing Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said. One person asked Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, most probably he was a businessman. Now this also, if I should say he was a businessman, and I don't know he's a businessman. It's a lie. But we say this so commonly we say all these things. So most because of the type of question, most probably he was a businessman. So he asked the Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that while we making namaz, is it possible that 100% you concentrate in your namaz? Hakimul Ummat. He asked that person, you were a businessman or whatever he was, is it possible for you in your business to think about namaz? He said, No, I never. In my business, I must think of my namaz. I'm engrossed in my business. The same way if a person is engrossed in namaz, that is his business. This is my business. Namaz is my business. How can I think of something else in my business? Hey, you are talking of a deal of 10 million rand. You are talking of this deal, that deal. Where you'll think of namaz and wuzu and faraiz of wuzu and nafils of wuzu, you don't think of it. So your namaz is your business. So we must develop ourselves so much that in our namaz, we don't think of anything else. It's just natural. So there are these thoughts that come. They don't nullify the namaz. Even if you think of something bad, thought came on its own. Namaz is not nullified, but for Ramadan, and in our namazes, and in our day of Roza, in the night, the month of Ramadan, if we can try and make this effort, that our muraqabas come right. That is in namaz, that we just think what we have, and very, very simple. It is not difficult. If we just, we are making namaz how long? And perhaps everyone, but there are those reverts, for example, who didn't get an Islamic education from the beginning. But those people also, they don't know Surah Fatiha in Arabic. He just accepted Islam. But the English he knows. Yes, he reads the English and he knows the English, but he doesn't know it in Arabic. And many of us know the Arabic, we learned, but we don't know the English. Not that we don't know. No, everyone knows the translation of Surah Fatiha. So in namaz, if we just concentrate of the meaning, that is concentration. And so much ulama have written, like for the Ahnaf, the Hanafis, we are not supposed to read Surah Fatiha or anything in the third, fourth rakat over Faraz namaz behind the imam. So there, they say, Iqra fi nafsi. Read Surah Fatiha, but in your heart. Don't read it with your tongue. Don't use your tongue. So Surah Fatiha, which is the oft repeated surah, how many times it's repeated in namazes? So what is the message? What is Allah giving? Why did Allah prescribe it to be read not only once, beginning of the Quran Sharif, but every rakat we read it. We read it, Imam reads it for us. Silent namaz, we should read it in our hearts, in our minds. What is the message? Today we haven't still got through to that. And Surah Fatiha works revolution. What it works, but we don't pay attention. And just in namaz, if we think of the meanings, we will come to that stage where it will rub off onto us. The same way, another thing in namaz, if we just think how many times we have to say in one rakat, Allahu Akbar. But who thought of the greatness of Allah? How many times we repeating it? If we are making Zuhr namaz, we are making Zuhr, we are making Isha, all the rakats, how many times we saying Allahu Akbar? When we hear the Muazzin call out, 4 times at the beginning, 2 times at the end, but it hasn't, the greatness of Allah hasn't come into us. We're just passing by, we're not noticing what we are passing by. And also many times it happens, a person says that my whole life, for example, a businessman and some byproduct or some waste, and after doing business for example, 50 years, then somebody told him, you know, this is not waste, where are you dumping it? This is money, big money in here. Like for example, one person told us in China, from the urine, they're taking out a certain substance. The rest, they're purifying it and giving it as drinking water. Mm-hmm. And that other thing there, what they are taking out, they're sending it to South Africa. At a very good price for fertilizer or something. They're selling that to them. So if a person realized my whole life how much I urinated, and I could become a millionaire just from a millionaire just in my urination, and I wasted all that, so that by that side product when you come to know, so like that in our lives, if you reach 50 years and you say Surah Fatiha could do what miracles for me, but 50 years are gone, I didn't use it. Oh Allahu Akbar. And what 50 years and what if we reach 70 and we reach 80, but still the value of it doesn't dawn on us. It doesn't happen that in the qabr we realize, then we can't come back. Yeah, if we can realize, and every time we say Allahu Akbar, we hear the muazzin, it must strike like not terror, but it should strike something into our heart, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala. And if that will come into us, our children, I'm just speaking, Allah make it comes into me first, into all of us, then we will see how many times we read Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, how many times we are reading Subhana Rabbiyal A'zim. But we don't pay attention to it. And Allah didn't put this just for passing time in our namazes. Allah didn't institute namaz just to keep them busy. Let them make namaz. No, namaz is to reach Allah Ta'ala. And all these things are the ingredients of namaz by which we will reach Allah Ta'ala. So our rozas, try and bring these things in. For 1 month, 1 month make this effort. And inshallah, for life, we will see what our namazes have become. We will see what our hearts have become. We will see what our minds have become. What is given to us, just Allah make it that we can appreciate it. And then for most of us, we read the same surahs in our namazes. Short, we look for the shortest surahs. And we're just repeating the short surah. Just concentrate on that also. If you don't want to read Surah Baqarah and Ali Imran, And they are, mashallah, people who are reading this in the sunnahs, how many long rakats they are making. In the nafils, how long rakats they are making. But we, if we just say with our short surahs, but alam tara kay surah fil, Allah's qudrat in surah fil. What is the great power and qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And that comes into our hearts. May Allah give us all tawfiq and let these things become a reality. We are all deep and Allah has given it to us ready on the plate. And more a person will feel sad when he realizes afterwards that I had Deenul Islam. And I, if a person had 50 million rand and he lost it, he invested it wrong, it lost. The person goes mad, he can't take it. What happened? How could I do such a... What is 50 million rand? What is billions and trillions of rands and dollars and pounds in front of our deen? But unfortunately, we don't pay that attention to our deen. May Allah, me and us all, that let us start getting along with this namaz Allah has given us, Ramzan, Rozas, and this for the few days we concentrate, little, and see inshallah that what a change will come into us, may Allah give us all.